Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Our friend Bob is on the other side of the glass, and in honor of today's eclipse, he has a very cool tie on today. It's sort of the eclipse tie. Isn't that nice? Very nice, Bob. Big day, of course. It's eclipse day, but it's also the 242nd anniversary of the Presidio being founded in downtown Tucson. It is August 21st, 2017. Hope you are having a pretty good start to the week. We're on AM 1030 KVOI here on the Buckmaster Show. And of course, we've got our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our live line number, 790-2040. Our Monday political face-off is the way we begin every Monday on the Buckmaster Show. Jeff Rogers is here. Mr. Rogers, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, you served, what, two terms?
Yes, I did.
That would be 8 years, right?
No, it was 4 years. So they're 2 year terms.
Oh, they're 2 years.
Spent 4 years before that as a vice chair. And then after that, I also was a vice chair of the state party.
Wow. Longtime Republican activist and political candidate Jim Kelly is here. Jim, you've been involved in local politics since in this town. How long?
About 15 years.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I have a ton of material for you two gentlemen today, and I'm going to actually start kind of small, I guess on the big scale of things, small with a city election, but it is, we have a three-way race going on, really the only race of note, Jeff Rogers, three Democrats facing off, two men, one woman, and that election is 1 week from tomorrow. Do you have any feel on this one?
I think it's probably going to be close. My best guess is that Paul Durham is the most likely strongest candidate, probably because he's retired at a young age and able to therefore spend all of his time with voter contact. People tell me that that they've seen him at their house multiple times personally. He got something like four times the maximum number of signatures and only turned in the maximum, and told me that he got 85% of those personally. Mm. So in a low turnout election like that, personal voter contact is going to outweigh, I think, mail, radio, anything else that you do to advertise. I mean, it's a central Tucson ward that is pretty walkable, and I think he's done a great job of doing that. I'm starting to see some evidence that the others are starting to do some of the same.
Jim, did the Republicans drop the ball by not at least putting up a candidate?
In that,
and I keep hearing sacrificial lamb and all that stuff. But
in that particular ward, no, I'm disappointed that we don't even have a slate. But in that particular ward, I think we should have put up a candidate. They rejected one guy who's now running as an independent. The only candidate we have is Mariano Rodriguez, who's running against Steve Kozacik in Ward 6. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. I think right now I'm not on the executive committee of the Pima County Republican Party, but I believe that they're holding their powder for bigger races that are coming up.
What happened with the Watson guy? It seems like he wanted to run as a Republican, but wasn't able to do so.
Well, there was a litmus test that was given to him, and he didn't pass the litmus test of the particular interviewers that were interviewing him. And I believe that litmus test had to do with the sales tax.
And I'm going to meet him for the first time, actually, Mr. Watson. I believe he is a firefighter.
Yep.
And he'll be on the program Thursday. Tomorrow on the program, former State Senator Kelly Ward, who's getting Jeff Rogers and Jim Kelly all sorts of national publicity. And, of course,
Yeah, she got an influx of cash from a guy by the name of Ray Mercer, and she's running with it. She's getting a lot of attention nationally because, you know, when the President of the United States tweets out, a think out loud thought about her, all of a sudden, everybody in the Beltway is now, running after her to get her very utterances on whatever she seems to think about today.
Well, we don't ever mention her name without inserting in between Kelly and Ward chemtrails, because she's rather infamous for having a hearing in her district, legislative district, about the government conspiracy against its people involving chemtrails and military airplanes. So she's a kook. And if the Republicans have any sense at all, they won't nominate her over Flake, because we'll beat her. And that is probably the only way we can win that Senate seat. It's going to be a big uphill lift. It'll be, a real discussion about who's in Donald Trump's camp. And right now, given the fact that Trump only won by 3.5 percentage points here in Arizona, if that election were held today, I believe Hillary would win in Arizona. So they, they better stick with Flake. That's their best chance of winning that district.
Yeah, but don't discount Maricopa, Stan, and don't discount Yavapai County and Coconino. I believe, will probably come through for Kelly. Maricopa is going to be a battleground for Flake and against Ward or anybody else that decides to jump into this race.
What about the discussions about Robert Graham and the guy who's currently in treasurer? Well,
we don't know for sure that the president tomorrow will be coming to endorse Dr. Ward. There are the other two gentlemen, Jim,
Robert Graham,
who Rogers has brought up those names. I mean,
Robert Graham was, number one, he was a very, very good Arizona state chairman for the Arizona Republican Party. He raised a lot of money for candidates, and quite frankly, we were quite successful under him in terms of, we ran the slate for all the state offices. Mm-hmm. And also, we picked up some seats in both the state house and the Senate, and Robert would go down, he would go anywhere. I mean, Robert came down to the South Side often, all the way to Nogales, re-energized Santa Cruz County to where we picked up a Republican seat in Santa Cruz County and a Republican mayor in Nogales. So Robert was very, very good at what he did. Will that translate into a Senate run this cycle? I don't know. And Robert hasn't straight up said yes or no. What he has said is that, it's being discussed.
And then there's Jeff DeWitt, Jeff DeWitt, state treasurer, who I believe was Donald Trump's
campaign treasurer.
For the state of Arizona. But he was also one of the first people to come out in support of Trump, and very vocal. He was the whip at the state convention that voted for the delegates to the national convention. Very talented, obviously. He's treasurer of the state of Arizona. Very intelligent guy. But again, what will it be? Will it be if DeWitt comes in, will it be a fight for the same voters that Kelly Ward's going to get? Or will Jeff DeWitt be able to, that Kelly Ward will not be able to do, and that is take traditional Jeff Flake voters? Kelly Ward cannot take a traditional Jeff Flake voter. What she can do is just whip up the base that doesn't like him already.
Right, Jeff DeWitt is going to have to
be able to reach out to the traditional Jeff Flake voter if he intends to jump into this race and if he intends to win the primary.
And my problem is I don't understand what it is Republicans don't like about Jeff Flake. I mean, the guy is a rock-ribbed conservative. I mean, if you except for the Gang of Eight immigration moderation and one or two other little things, like he's kind of critical of our despicable president. Other than that, the guy is a rock-ribbed conservative.
I had this conversation last night, and here's what it comes down to. Unfortunately, There is still the perception that that comprehensive immigration reform is amnesty. There is no amnesty in comprehensive immigration reform. Absolutely none. You go back to the back of the line, you pay fines, you pay back taxes, and then you have a pathway to citizenship. That is not amnesty. Never was, never is, but that is how a very small contention but loud has been able to redefine what comprehensive immigration reform was. I know that there was no amnesty in that bill. Zero. But that got put on Jeff Flake and Senator McCain. The second thing, Jeff Flake has never said a contrite word against the president. All he has ever said was, I have an issue with what he said here, or I have an issue with what he said there. His issue is with the people that have been foam at the mouth, rabid against him, against all logic. So again, he's not against the president. He has been against a few things the president has said.
Yeah, but his but Kelly Ward's group is going to say that, you know, they're going to say something.
And he's definitely not against the conservative agenda. He helped create the conservative agenda.
Before we take the break, Jeff, if the president comes out tomorrow, endorses Kelly Ward, and it looks like that could very well happen, and then Ward is going to pick up obviously some momentum with her base. What are the what is the Democratic strategy here about? Because the prospects then would look very good for Dems in a general election race.
And you'll remember the last time we won a Senate seat was with DeConcini.
Right.
And that was after a very rancorous, horrible primary that killed both of the Republicans. And,
refresh my memory, will you? Do you recall
we're going
who that
back
was?
To. I'm trying to remember who the Republicans were back then.
Was that 78?
Yeah, 78. Yeah. And okay. But it was a vicious primary, and the person came out of it so mortally wounded that Dennis DeConcini won that Senate seat. And that's what I think would probably happen here if he endorses Kelly Ward, and if Flake and Ward, you know, have basically a really nasty primary, then I think whoever emerges could be so weak that they can't win the final election.
Well, if anybody has ever been in the presence of or spoken with, either privately or publicly, with Senator Flake, you know he's one of the nicest people in the world. He's extremely deliberative, very intelligent, mm-hmm. and he is not prone to emotional outbursts of any kind. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play to emotional bases for the most part, which if he goes up against a primary against Kelly Ward, mm-hmm. some tactics or some strategies may have to change for the Flake campaign. What that means, I don't know. I do hope one thing, no matter what, I think Senator Flake will always maintain a dignity for both the office of the Senate and the dignity of the human being that he already is.
I think the Arizona voter
is going to recognize that. I think the Arizona voter, particularly the Arizona Republican voter, is tired of the rancor, and what they want is a deliberative, decent.
If you
man,
had to say right now, you would
man.
Say Flake will survive.
I think he'll survive, but I think the possibility that Jeff talks about
wounded.
Is there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take the break right here. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. Good commentary today from Jeff Rogers and Jim Kelly. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Kelly Ward. Also, Joe Thomas. Mr. Thomas, the head of the Arizona Education Association. Plus, Shelley Fishman and the Tuesday Moneymaker Report on Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI and worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Monday political face-off. Jeff Rogers and Jim Kelly are here. We had a very interesting discussion about the president coming to Arizona tomorrow. Probably inside thinking is that he will endorse State Senator Kelly Ward. The other purpose, we are told, of the trip will be to pardon Sheriff Joe. A big mistake, Jim Kelly?
Well, it depends. If he wants to, you know, basically gin up his support base and the people that most supported him in the last election, those are Joe Arpaio supporters.
And they will welcome it.
And they would welcome it tremendously. At a statewide level, I was just looking at Mike Noble's polling. Mm-hmm. Over half of the voters of Arizona say don't pardon Arpaio. But here's where the breakdown is. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-to-1 thing. If you're under the age of 54, you're more likely to say do not pardon Joe Arpaio. If you're over the age of 54, you're more likely to say yes, pardon wow. Joe Arpaio. And let me give you the reasons why I think that is. It's the over 55 crowd that have known Joe the longest. You know, I've known his work for well over 30 years when he was at DEA working out of Mexico City. I know his work at a national level even before he got elected sheriff in Maricopa. More people over the age of 55 remember the Reader's Digest articles calling him the toughest sheriff in America.
Right.
More people over the age of 55 remember what Phoenix was like before he was the sheriff.
Just saying that.
And
again,
they
that,
are far they more that, forgiving of his peccadilloes.
They know that image.
Right. And they're far more forgiving
sheriff
of his peccadilloes.
So okay, Jeff?
Well, there's two reasons why he shouldn't do it. One of them is that the rule of law matters. And, you know, we constantly hear Republicans saying, what part of illegal don't you understand? Well, what part about breaking the law and being convicted of violating a judge's order do people not understand here? He's not going to probably get jail time, but he ought to suffer the inconvenience, let's say, of a conviction of at least a misdemeanor. I think he's probably guilty of far more than that. But the other thing, reason he shouldn't do it, is because, you know, Sheriff Joe Arpaio has been an unabashed racist for basically his entire career. And what we saw last Tuesday, the outburst of Mr. Trump, was an unabashed endorsement of white nationalists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and Confederate
what,
ideas.
The fact of the matter is, if he
pardons Joe Arpaio, like Jim said, he's going to be playing to his base. But what does that say about him? I mean, I really didn't believe it until last Tuesday. But I believe that we have the first actual bona fide racist in the White House since Woodrow Wilson.
Okay, Jim, now I'll let you go.
Absolutely.
Then I'm going to go to the phone, okay?
For the entire weekend that you're talking about since Charlottesville, absolutely not once did Donald Trump, the president of Trump, ever endorse white nationalists, Nazis, or fascists. Not once. There is nothing in his statement that ever endorsed that. Ever. And as a matter of fact, there's far more documentation of him condemning Nazis, condemning white nationalists, and condemning the fascism.
He didn't
that
do it on
comes
Tuesday,
from
Jim.
these very small groups, unfortunately, who are or know how to organize well thanks to social
right.
media. But the point is that is absolutely a horrible, horrible charge.
Multiple senators have come out
make,
and said there are no very fine people
president.
On that side of the fence.
Okay, yeah. Let's go to the live line. Chuck would like to join in the conversation. And Chuck has a comment about Senator Flake. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm a very conservative Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely will not vote for Senator Flake.
Okay, why not?
This man has stood in the way of our new president, Trump, all the way. As far as I'm concerned, he's an obstructionist, and he's forgotten what the Republican Party is all about. Second of all, he just recently came out with an op-ed, and in that op-ed, he said that, they had illegals on their farm to work and all that, and he tried to protect them from the Border Patrol, and any time he saw the Border Patrol out there,
that's
he
nonsense,
kind of
Trump.
Run them off his land and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to law, he just doesn't understand the law.
Okay.
Chuck, that's absolute nonsense.
Thank you, Chuck.
I read that op-ed that he wrote, and what he was talking about was somebody who would be considered a dreamer today. In other words, his parents had come across, but he personally had been a ranch hand at the Flake Ranch for years and years and years, and later on, after his father died, you know, he's still there, and he has raised incredibly accomplished children. You misread that op-ed, because I guarantee you, under no circumstances was he praising illegals or anything like that. He was praising a very specific person in his life whom he believes is worthy of citizenship.
All right. I've only got 2 minutes left, and I wanted to bring this up because the president will be speaking tonight about Afghanistan. Jeff and Jim, some quick comments about troop buildup. Let's begin with you, Jeff. 4,000 troops, that's kind of what we're hearing, might be going over to Afghanistan. Some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, 16-year war is the longest war in America's history. I don't think there's much more we can do there, and we certainly don't need to spend more of our taxpayers' treasured dollars, as well as the lives of our young men and women in Afghanistan. I don't think there's much more we can do. Both two presidents have fought through 8 years each of a war there, and I'm just not sure, you know, that we should continue down the same path of more sending more soldiers.
Well, here's what it comes down to. You're absolutely right. We've had two administrations, 8 years each, that did not recognize the quagmire that this is for whatever reason. Okay, so obviously there are other forces at play here besides just whether we're going to send 4,000 more troops or not. At the regional level, it is still my belief that Afghanistan needs to be stabilized, simply as a, if nothing more than as a containment on Iran and a containment on the same nefarious forces that try to cause as much havoc as they can throughout the Middle East, whether it be in the Levant or whether it be in Saudi Arabia or with our allies in Qatar and the UAE. So at this point, is 4,000 troops too much or not enough? I personally do not know. I do know this. Two presidents' administrations haven't figured it out yet, and it's going to take a heck of a lot more than just platitudes or pull out. I just don't. There's got to be more to it.
All righty. Jeff Rogers, thanks for coming in, Jeff.
Quite welcome.
And Jim Kelly, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We will be right back.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Talk to the animals, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python.
Welcome back. If I could only talk to the animals. Our next guest, I think he can talk to animals. Jason Jacobs is with us. The director of the Reed Park Zoo. Before I say, first I can say welcome, and then I'm going to tell people about green things. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a wonderful August for Reed Park Zoo with all the wet weather in the afternoons. We've had a lot of people coming in for the cooler mornings.
Yep. And do you do any gardening?
Do I? No.
No.
But at the zoo, our staff does a wonderful job.
Yes, they do.
Of maintaining the grounds and creating some nice horticulture displays within the zoo.
Well, I'm sure that your gardening staff is very familiar with one of my fine sponsors, Green Things. They do such a great job, Jan and Jack, the owners, on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And now that the weather's cooler and we had such great rain, people are starting to think about fall gardening. So check out Green Things. Jason, yesterday was a very big day at the Reed Park Zoo. This was the birthday of our favorite little elephant.
That's right.
It was not so little anymore.
No, it was Nandi's birthday, mm-hmm. and we had close to 2,000 people there. And I recall, you know, the day she was born, that next day I came in on your show, mm-hmm. and we talked about her. It's hard to believe that was 3 years ago.
Unbelievable.
And there were so many people that showed up. She has so many fans. People were watching on the webcams, and we broadcasted it live over Facebook. So Tucson's Reed Park Zoo is really known for its elephants, and people love Nandi.
Was there any kind of sweet treat for the baby?
Well, she got some enrichment in terms of we had boxes for her to break open and browse that she gets and whatnot. But for the public, we had some elephant-shaped lollipops, and we had bubbles that they can blow. So a lot of fun stuff for everybody at Reed Park Zoo.
The numbers are looking really good for the summer, which is traditionally kind of a slow month, but you've had a really good month, August.
We have. You know, it's really because we've had a lot of rain. So, in the late afternoon, there's no one there. But the next morning, because of the rain, it's usually a little cooler. and we've had some great days. This day, you know, with Nandi's birthday, we had close to 2,000 people on Sunday, but on Saturday we had 1,400 people, which is a great number for a Saturday in August.
I noticed, and I pointed this out to you when I saw this story in the Wall Street Journal, actually front page story, zoos are baffled as fans have been lining up for hours, even bursting into tears about seeing a particular animal.
Yeah, and that article talks about how sloths have become such a popular zoo animal. And, you know, we don't have a sloth at Reed Park Zoo. It's one day we would like to open a sloth exhibit. Our general curator, Dr. Sue Tygelski, who is an amazing animal care professional, she's actually identified a site in the future where we would build a sloth habitat, but we're not quite there yet.
What is resonating with people? Just that these animals, you know, in our busy Facebook-oriented world and social media, these are like kind of slow-moving animals that really, you know, doing their own thing.
Well, there's a couple potentials.
Okay.
There's been some...
You talk to animals. You should.
I don't understand them. I might say something to them, but I'm definitely not Dr. Doolittle or Rex Harrison. I'm not as talented as he is. You know, the movie Zootopia featured a sloth named Flash that was a very popular character. That might be a reason. And also there were some reality shows based on sloth rescues in South America. And, you know, every animal has a story. You just have to listen to its story. And I think people are starting to listen to the story of sloths. And they are an endearing creature. They're actually related to the armadillo and the anteater. The anteater obviously is an animal that's our logo animal at Reed Park Zoo.
Of course.
So, you know, that could be one of the reasons that sloths are gaining in popularity. And it's a great thing, you know, after The Lion King came out in 1994, warthogs and meerkats became a household name that now most kids know what those species are, where before they were a rather obscure zoo animal. Zoos certainly had them, but they were not as popular as they are now.
What would be the acquisition process if you decide to go in that direction?
So the acquisition to get a sloth is somewhat easy. We would work through the Association of Zoos and Aquariums to find a sloth.
I almost thought you were going to say Association of Sloths.
We are accredited by the AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and they have a management plan for sloths, so they know who has sloths in the United States, who breeds them. But the groundwork to be done beforehand would be building the correct habitat, making sure we have the staff trained and ready for sloths. We have had sloths in the past at Reed Park Zoo. We probably haven't had one in about a decade, but we would like to bring them back in the future. It would be a few years down the line. We got a couple other projects in front of it, but one day we should have sloths again.
In your capacity, when you were associated, before you came to the Reed Park Zoo, where you are the administrator, you were an administrator, not the top administrator, but you were on the staff at the Los Angeles Zoo, a huge zoo that I believe over a million visitors a year.
Yeah, 1.5 to 1.6 million visitors.
And you got to know Betty White.
Yes, yes.
And Betty's still going strong at 95. She had a book that came out, Betty and Friends, My Life at the Zoo, a couple of years ago. And one of the people she mentions, the three people actually that helped her put that book together, is you, Jason Jacobs. Where did Betty's love of animals come from?
You know, if you purchase the book, you'll see that her family took her to zoos and national parks at an early age, and she's always loved animals, and she's been a board member of the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association for over 45 years now. And there is no person in the public eye in terms of a celebrity who has done more for the advocacy of zoos than Betty White. She's a huge fan, and I was honored to help her with that project, to assist her in any way, shape, or form, and she's just a lovely person, and I think the world of her.
Huge advocate for animals, right?
Yes, yes.
Endangered species animals?
Endangered species. She loves elephants and gorillas and has stood by zoos and has helped many zoos, not just the Los Angeles Zoo. She has visited Reed Park Zoo. She came here shortly after I assumed the leadership in early 2014. She came out to visit and meet with the staff, and we purposely kept that very quiet. She wanted to come and enjoy it, and you know, the zoo world is lucky to have a fan like Betty White.
What about the fall coming up at the zoo? Things are cooling off. Folks want to get out. What do you have coming up?
So for the end of August, till the end of August, every Wednesday in August, we have Watermelon Wednesdays, where you can come into the zoo early Wednesday morning. We open up at 8 a.m. and you'll see different animals getting watermelon, and we have watermelon treats that we sell for the visitors. Every Saturday in September is Saturday Catterday. So we'll have a focus on our cats, the lions, tigers, and although they're not really cats,
now you're talking
the meerkats. Yeah,
I'm the big cat person. The meerkats?
Yes. So we'll have different events going on about cats at the zoo.
Isn't there a big event in October?
Yes, we have the Reed Park Zoological Society, our nonprofit support organization. They have ZooSon the evening of October 13th, which is their largest fundraiser of the year. We are so lucky to have them supporting Reed Park Zoo. You know, behind the scenes, what a lot of our guests don't see is we're building a massive animal health center. And our partner with that is the University of Arizona. But that's also funded by the Reed Park Zoological Society.
It's like a hospital?
It's a hospital for our zoo animals. Health center, and it's a learning center where we can bring school groups in there, university professionals, medical professionals. They can observe surgeries, checkups on animals. It's a fascinating facility, and next time you're out at the zoo, it's not done yet. It won't be done till early 2018, but I'll take you out there to see it.
Well, there'll be an operating theater and everything?
Yes. Yes, whoa. Exactly.
Wow. And so I assume it's all going to be like state-of-the-art zoo surgery stuff.
Correct. Our old health center is 38 years old, so it's time for a new one. It's only about 2,500 square feet. The new one in total will be about 10,000 square feet, and it'll meet the needs of our animal collection for decades to come. So we're so excited about that.
Well, Reed Park Zoo, I'm a member of the zoo. I love the zoo. It's a great place to support and take family members. And just we're very proud of the Reed Park Zoo. I'm very proud of Jason Jacobs in his three-year tenure already now.
It's been 4 years, if you can believe it.
4 years?
Yeah, I started August 1st, 2013.
Wow.
So it's really, look, it's a partnership. I am so lucky to have the staff, the volunteers, the supporters, the community support, our board, the city officials. Everyone makes a zoo great.
Well, you have my support.
Well, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you letting me come on here and talk about what's new at the zoo. And it's this community. We have a great zoo because this community has said they want a great zoo, and they support it, and we have the best staff, the best volunteers and board members, and, you know, everybody contributes to make Reed Park Zoo wonderful.
All right. Jason, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk Wildcat football. I can't believe it. It's almost football season already, right after this on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there. Everybody comes back. Yes, Bill, we had a great time. Who wouldn't? It's a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. You know, it's about 6,000 foot elevation. Everything's greened up after the summer rains, the Gila National Wilderness, historic Silver City. Great opportunities to recreate, as they say, and they're all listed for you at Southwest New Mexico, spellitout.org has the full listing of things to do and places to stay. Anthony Jamino is a sports journalist who for more than two decades has covered UA athletics, including covering football for the Arizona Daily Star and the TucsonCitizen.com, and most recently providing sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He's senior editor at Lindy's Football Annuals. Anthony is co-author of a book on Arizona basketball. It's titled 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He's a co-host of the season's Wildcat basketball pre- and post-game shows on Sports Radio AM 1290. His latest project, which is doing very well, is the creation of a sports blog, and it's called AllSportsTucson.com. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's a great week because there's college football this Saturday, Bill.
I know there is.
Not Arizona, but there's college football this Saturday.
I believe Rice and the Stanford Cardinal are traveling down under for a game Saturday night, U.S. time, Sunday afternoon in Australia.
That is correct. I think we'll start about 7 o'clock our time here in Tucson. But yeah, Stanford's going, so Pac-12 underway, and then the week after that, Arizona and pretty much everybody else in the country's starting, mm-hmm. and it'll be pretty fun to get going.
What about your thoughts on the preseason, the pre-camp? Not pre-camp, but the I almost like fall football camp. What are your thoughts?
I am actually a little bit more optimistic about this Arizona team now than I was before camp started. And part of the reason for that is they have, it really looks just, you know, purely by the eye test, and I'm not a believer in putting too much stock in just what you see in a practice or what people are saying. But there are a lot of young players on this team that look the part, that look like they're legit, talented Pac-12 football players in terms of size, speed, and all those other tangible things. And that's something I wouldn't have been sure of a few weeks ago. The problem is, these guys are really young. I was trying to, in my head, maybe do a two-deep depth chart, which would be 44 guys, and I think 20 to 25 of them could be freshmen or redshirt freshmen who haven't played. And that's a lot. So I think it's promising for the future. The thing is, can they do well enough this year to kind of build a bridge to what might be more promising teams in 2018, 2019? So I think that's going to be one of the big questions.
And I think, can they win enough games to keep the hound dogs, if you will, away from Coach Rodriguez? Because people, if this team doesn't get off to a halfway decent start, Anthony, you know it, I know it, there will be calls for Rich Rod's head.
Yeah, this is probably true. And I think the earliest game in that regard will be the home game against Houston on September 9th. You know, they open in a couple Saturdays against NAU. We'll chalk that up as a win. The Houston game is essentially a toss-up. I mean, Houston a couple years ago, they were making a run at a big-time bowl game. They were making a run at an undefeated season. Now they've got a new coach because their coach parlayed his success at Houston into the job at Texas, so good for him. But there's still a lot of talent on that team, and that's going to be a really good team. Again, I can kind of coin flip that game. They could easily win it. They could easily lose it. If Arizona wins, they've got a good chance to be, you know, they play at UTEP next week. Chances are they'll be 3-0 going in the conference season, a home game against Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, over the years, they've had pretty good success with Utah over the years, even though Utah's going to be pretty good again. But I think at that point, people in Tucson will take notice. 3-0 going in the conference season, people will be hopeful. If you're 2-1 having lost to Houston, people will have to create their own buzz. I don't think there'll be a lot of it. So that's the first game, or the game number two against Houston is really key. And then, you know, there's three or four other games in conference where you wonder, boy, they could really win this game, but that's exactly what the other team is thinking too. And Arizona has to win more than its share of those kind of games. And to do that, some of those young guys will have to play early and play well.
What do you think of this Wall Street Journal article over the weekend? Big-time college sports programs are throwing millions at absurdly, according to the writer, Jason Gay, luxurious amenities. And he points out this new facility at the University of Texas is just unbelievable, the locker room, I guess. So, you know, and he concludes, this writer in the journal, that it's all a diversion from the real issue, compensation for players. And this has kind of come up with the quarterback, what is his name, at UCLA. He kind of brought this up, Josh Rosen. Yeah. So people are talking about this, Anthony.
This has certainly been, I read that story, and Jason has, this is one of his favorite themes to write about. He's written extensively on kind of in this general area. It's certainly been a topic for a lot of years. In recent years, we've seen this go to labor relations boards. Are college athletes employees or not employees?
Right.
You know, that's a big, it is, such a complicated issue, and I don't pretend to have the answers. The problem is one size does not fit all. Mm-hmm. Where what might be good for the starting quarterback Heisman candidate on a top 25 team isn't the same for the number five player on the women's tennis team.
Right.
And the thing is, you got to treat them all the same. And so that's part of the issue. I know Greg Byrne, when he was AD here, you know, he would talk about, I don't know if he was talking specifically maybe about football and basketball players, but I think it may be similar, where the athletic department might spend $50,000-$60,000 a year on each athlete.
Wow.
So even though athletes aren't getting paid, and I'm always siding with the athlete in these kind of cases, you know, you start adding up some of these things, some of the services they get, medical services, academic services, travel, mm-hmm. gear. They get a little bit of a stipend. They're really more pampered now than ever before. Again, maybe that's not enough for your star quarterback, but it's pretty good for your third string strong safety.
Yes.
And that's the thing. When you start, you've got 400 or so athletes on campus, student athletes, and if you start adding in $500 a month, it gets complicated.
I know.
There's two sides. If you get Alabama's paying Nick Saban $7 million a year. That sounds ridiculous. The players are getting nothing. But is he worth it? Yeah, because I guarantee you, Alabama enrollment has spiked over the last 10 years.
There you go. AG, I'm going to have to run. Anthony Jamino,
okay.
We'll talk to you as we get into the season, into September for sure. Thank you, sir.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Anthony Jamino covers Wildcat sports for us, one of our two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Mike Check with Mike Shaw this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. And me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. On behalf of my engineer-producer, Bob Dio, today, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Tune for more intelligent talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.